Welcome to Ready, Set, Real Estate, where we will help empower and educate you on many different aspects of real estate, finance, and investing. Each week, we will expand your knowledge and uncover hidden truths. We will break down real-world scenarios and study actual how-to strategies. Anyone can buy real estate, but together we'll ensure you make smart real estate investment decisions. Now, here's your host, award-winning author, international speaker, and real estate educator, Lisa Gillette.
Happy Wednesday. We are back for another information pack episode. This one has been inspired, like all of them, real life situations. A friend of mine, also broker colleague, we were discussing this amongst many other great topics as we're managing financial freedom and managing mortgage, managing life, managing aging. Today, we will be talking about retirement and managing your mortgage and housing expenses. So whether you are thinking about retiring early, whether you have retired already, there are some things that probably you didn't realize pre-retirement that you should have been thinking about or planning. This is what I remind my clients. Purchasing property is not like buying a pair of shoes. If it doesn't fit, you don't like it, it doesn't work out, you just send it back and you get your money back or you exchange it. That's not how it works in real estate. It's interesting. I had a new client was saying to me about them having enough money saved to pay 2 to 3 years worth of mortgage. And I was thinking to myself, not to be, you know, snippy or have a smart remark, but I was thinking 2 to 3 years worth of X amount of mortgage payments is not the same as being prepared to pay 30 years of mortgage payments. Your mortgage is not a 2 to 3 year loan. It is a 30 year loan if you decide to keep it that long. Right now, we realize people are keeping their mortgages on average for 10 years before they sell that particular property with that mortgage term, and then they move on. So much to talk about today. So let me edit the show caption. So let's edit the show caption. Let's give you time to say your highs and hellos, of course. Press 1, lets me know you're here. Press 2, lets me know you shared it. So go ahead and drop that down below. And like I say, sharing is caring. I've been having a great week. I trust you've been having a productive and great week. You know, I love the ebb and flow of this business because you can get into escrow, cancel escrow, just all kinds of things come up. You're negotiating before you get into escrow. And then when you're in escrow, you learn all kinds of different things. Post escrow, you learn more things. My husband's been watching me, and yesterday a client called and was sharing about a potential, like this would be a landlock or like an encroachment type thing that he has on his land. And so we were just thinking about different scenarios. And he was like, gosh, you know, just hanging with you, you'll learn so much. And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that I just don't do like the kind of regular real estate or whatever standard real estate. I get all kinds of situations and scenarios. And I think that just lends or speaks to the fact of being in this business long enough, being solution oriented. If there's a problem, I put on that hat, right? I wear that hat for a solution and see how we can provide an answer or a resolution to our client's unique situation, which is why that's our business tagline. You are, as you know, tuning into Ready, Set, Real Estate. We are available on radio, podcasts, everywhere. And by the way, so I got this alert about Stitcher. Stitcher's phasing out come August 23rd. So they phased out already. I think I've already did the change. But I did not realize Stitcher was also like associated with Pandora. I did not know we were on Pandora. Hello, we're like winning here. We're on like some major platforms. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, Pandora. I had no idea. So shout out to those of you who have been tuning in on Pandora. I am taking the moment to love on you and give you this love because my husband listens to Pandora. He's not so much the Spotify person. I think my son and I are like YouTube, Spotify. We'll log on. I use Spotify to get my music for workout. I tune into some legal podcasts on Spotify. And I did not know Pandora was doing the podcast thing. So, honey, Pandora is got us on there. Ready Set Real Estate is on Pandora. So we've got to make sure we subscribe. And of course, I invite you to subscribe and do the same. All right. So boom. We're kicking off episode 221, Your Mortgage in Retirement. So I've kind of given you a little segue into where we're going to go. This is classroom style. So I do have a PowerPoint presentation that I will share with you. And before we do that, I do want to speak about quarterly goals, making sure you're writing those down. So let's just bring that up here. We are headed to September. This is the end. We're going to be headed towards the end of third quarter. How has your year been thus far, right? Just kind of measuring what you've put down, what you've executed. Did you execute it? Did you get to doing it? And where you are in that plan. I've just done my September calendar. So I've got two or three running calendars. There's one for work, right? Real estate, the real estate business. There's one for school. So I just did my calendar for school. And then there is the calendar for the show. So I've got three running calendars that I've got to be on top of. Otherwise, I notice when I don't do the calendars, I don't feel like I'm being productive. I feel like I was sharing this with my friend Leslie, and I said, I just know there's like no form of food or drink or anything that will satisfy this feeling I have. And it usually comes about when I know I'm not doing something that I'm supposed to be doing. Like, you've got stuff to do. What are you doing? Stop it. And one of those things for me is I'm also up for renewal. So my broker license is up for renewal. So I've got to make sure my CEs are done. I already have it on my calendar. As you all know, I took the NPRE this past couple weeks in August. So stay tuned to see if I passed. The good news is I've started early enough to see if I passed. I've got ample opportunities to retake the exam until I get a passing score. California and Utah has a required, one of the highest passing score that is required for ethics and professional responsibility in the legal industry. And so we shall see. We shall see. I've been debating, like, I'm just sharing my journey with you all as I'm on this journey. This has been a journey since I was a kid, and I am so ready. I'm so excited. And I continue to realize, like, oh, like, you got to really start learning and doing. So the cool thing is, some of you know offline, and I'll share it online with you. What is also cool is that I have been working alongside two attorneys on a project basis. So, which has been really cool because I've been hands-on, and they do probate and trust litigation, a couple civil cases here and there, depending. But the main focus has been probate and trust litigation. And I can just appreciate being a real estate broker and having the knowledge that I have, knowledge and experience and expertise I have in real property. Right? Real estate is real property as it relates to probates and trusts. Oh, my goodness. It's like next level up in here. That's all I've got to say. Next level. So as we talk about those goals, make sure you're writing it down. Forgive yourself for those of things that you've not executed. Be forgiving and loving of yourself, right? No harsh, no abuse, right? What was the word I used to use? I used to call no self-abuse, right? Don't be too hard on yourself, because it's been a bumpy year. We went from last year, especially if you're in this industry, you're like, woohoo, you're just like riding the wave. And then interest rates are like 7%, and we're finding more creative ways to make our deals happen. We are having to promote products that will make financial sense for our clients. For those of you who are wondering, how are people buying real estate right now? Well, check with your lenders, and it is subject to qualifications. There's a particular loan product called the rate buy down. So there's a 3-2-1 and a 2-1 rate buy down. And essentially, the seller would have to contribute towards paying the cost of the program. And it will give you a low fixed rate for the first year, a low fixed rate for the second year, and the remaining year you'll have, let's say that's 7%. So the first year, year one of the loan, you'll have a 5% rate. Year two of the loan, you'll have a fixed 6% rate. And then for year three to the end of the loan term, you'll have a fixed rate of 7%. That's an example. And again, subject to qualification, speak with your lender, that whole thing. So that's how people are getting it done. You know, if you've been wondering, like, who is buying at 7%? Well, it's not so much about buying at 7%. It's using the creative products that is available. And I think for the most part, people do have, cash reserves and resources. And through negotiating, you can negotiate those rate buy downs if it makes sense. And depending, you know, your lender and the products that are available, you have loan products with no private mortgage insurance, which could easily save you the equivalent of a car note. You know, those are easily like $300, $400, depending on the loan amount. Those private mortgage insurance premiums can be pretty high and kind of stick you right in the side, which, you know, that cost alone will affect your purchasing power, how much you qualify for. And then on the flip side, yes, as we are seeing rates doing what they're doing, it is a measure to cool down the market, and that's what it's been doing. Although I haven't been a fan of price reductions, but we've got to do it, right? And it's adjusting and pivoting with the market, and that's just the reality of it. So we all can do our best to manage and navigate the waters of this really relatively high interest rate environment. And I say relatively high, it's relatively high to a couple years ago, not that high to 20 years ago when rates were 11, 12%, right? So relatively high. You can still appreciate it for what it is now. All right. With that being said, let's get into our show sponsor for today. And then we'll be right back after the sponsor. And we'll get right into talking about your mortgage and retirement and things you should know, right? Things you should know and start thinking of and pre-planning. You just don't hit early retirement and then you're trying to figure out how to cover your mortgage, because then you and I will be having a very hard and difficult conversation about maybe having to downsize and so forth. But anyway, I'll save that. We'll be right back after this sponsor break.
Do you have properties that need to be maintained? For professional services that guarantee your property will stay safe and secure, Omnis Property is the team you want by your side. As a company, we pride ourselves on our best-in-class professionals, equipped with the latest technology for all your end-to-end property preservation needs. That means that from start to finish, our expert team can handle everything from accurate assessments to preservation projects of all sizes. Save money and time by working with leading experts that understand your needs and are committed to premier service. Get started today by contacting us for your project estimate. Visit www.omnispreservation.com or call 310-957-9132.
All right. Thank you, as always, to our show sponsors, Making It Happen. Sponsors, sponsorships, Making It Happen. Thank you, sponsorships. In fact, we're a sponsor. We are a sponsor, Divenio States, our firm, boutique firm here in Southern California. We are a show sponsor to Jazzism. In fact, it is this weekend, well, where we will be having Jazzism again, first Saturday. So if you want to connect with me offline, I invite you as my guest. Come on out. Join us at Jazzism. I've had an opportunity to solidify some great relationships, cultivate new ones, network, enjoyed under, you know, jazz music, food. We are at a venue in West Hollywood, and it's been really great collaborating and partnering with Bay Entertainment. In fact, let me, that was like so off for me to be talking about Jazzism with the middle, in the middle of the show while, let me do it this way, right? In the middle of the show while I have my screen over. So let's do it that way, right? Okay. So first Saturdays, Labor Day weekend. If you don't have anything planned, make it a date night, fun night, a night out. You know, the summers are starting to cool down by the end of this week is what I'm hearing. But nevertheless, we are still in California and we still get great weather. And if you have not been in the Hollywood scene, I mean, it's just live, right? It's Hollywood. And it's amazing, and it's great to see the professionals that come out. And we're talking about professionals in all industries, all lines of industries that we get to connect with. And so if you are interested, make sure you either text me. You can text me, drop a text at 323-488-3265. But you can get your ticket, early tickets. I think, what is it? It's advanced tickets through the first, which is what, Friday, $15. And you can buy your tickets at Eventbrite. So Jazzism, that's, let me put that in here. So jazzismla.eventbrite.com. So jazzismla.eventbrite.com. Right? So if you don't have anything planned, I know I've reached out to some of you already. You're like, yeah, I've got something. You know, I plan to go this, especially right now. It's like, it's the season, right? It's jazz. It's jazz festivals happening at various parks and different venues. It's my favorite time of year as well, especially when we've come out of this COVID environment. It's a little bit lax, but of course, be safe. And you know what you need to do for your health. So, you know, just make sure you're precautionary and you come out and enjoy or participate in things to your level of comfortability. With that being said, yeah, so there it is, jazzismla.eventbrite.com. The link is in the chat below. We've been a sponsor for some time and oh my gosh, like it's great. Okay, so it's great and it's just grown-up fun. Is what I like to call it. It's grown-up fun. Okay, that's the end of my spiel. As we were talking about our sponsors and thanking our sponsors, is why I was like, wait, I've got a flyer for that. I've got a flyer for that. All right, let's get into this real quick. So, of course, let me just do disclaimers. Of course, disclaimers. The information provided on this show should not be considered legal or tax advice. Please seek legal and tax advice from those reputable licensed professionals regarding your specific or unique situation. Of course, the information on this show is meant to be edutaining, right? A little education here and entertainment, wrapped in entertainment here, because I tell you, I put a spin on a lot of this stuff that's real life, and sometimes it can weigh on you, but, you know, we take the heavy stuff and we can make light of it, because as long as we're learning something from it and there's a lessons to be learned, at least that's my perspective of things. I don't beat myself up too much. Sometimes I've had, and then I go, wait, what did I learn from that, right? What is the lesson? So here's the lesson for those of you who are jumping into deciding to retire early, right? Retiring early is not this overnight, I'm going to sign the paperwork and I'm out, people. I've given my 15, 25, 30 years, however long you've been doing it with, you know, your respective companies or careers. something to think about. If you own property, if you own multiple properties as well, right? So this is why it helps to make sure you've got a team of advisors that knows what your exit strategy is when it comes to your job or your careers, what you're pivoting to do, and have that conversation. It's not something, again, not to be taken lightly, because everything you've built for can literally start to crumble because you did not realize that your income was going to change. Expenses could potentially increase, especially as we talk about homeowners insurance and property taxes and maintenance, especially if you've been in your property as long as you've been in your property. There will be some capital, what we call CapEx, capital expenditures, you know, big expenses like, you know, needing to replace the roof. Right now, if you are in California, by a show of hands, how many of you have been driving down your neighborhoods and streets and notice many roof replacements happening right now? A lot of roofers out on the roof. A lot of tarps are out on the roof. And so we are at that period. It's just been where a lot of these properties have been around for now, what? A lot of them are like 90 to 100 years old. And it's just that time. You all have gotten a good 30 to 40 years of patchwork on those roofs, but now it's time to take off those layers. If you have more than 3 layers on your roof, listen, you've got a big problem. All right. So do know that housing is typically the biggest expense for most people, which is why it's important to manage your housing expenses to achieve financial freedom. And so today we'll be talking about, what are some ways that you can manage your mortgage and your housing expenses while either in retirement, if you've already retired, or you're planning it, right? So this does come up. However, in this current environment, it's not likely going to be the best plan. So here's why planning, right? Your pre-planning retirement discussion should have happened a couple years back, especially right at the pandemic boom. Do know that refinances are based on, especially if you do a refinance or you do a cash out, right? So the idea here is to lower your monthly mortgage payments, reduce your interest rates. But when I kicked off the show and started discussing here in the show, I mentioned that interest rates are at like 7%. So there are very, very slim chances that we are going to see any homeowners with interest rates of 3.25, 4.99, even those 5% interest rates where you all were kind of turning your nose up about when you got them. And if you've done a deal with me and you're like 5.5, right? You were like, oh no, right? Because you were comparing it to the 3.25 interest rate that was happening years prior. And now we're at 7%. So your 5% is not looking too bad at all, right? Because no one I know, unless they're doing the rate buy down program, is getting a low or 5% interest rate. But it comes with that additional clause or terms that rate will go up to a higher fixed interest rate for the life of the loan. So although this is an option, I do want you to be strategic, right? Think about it strategically. Would it make sense if you're trying to manage your mortgage and lower your payment to refinance into a higher interest rate, especially like the one we are in now in this environment? So think about this. Whether, you know, retirement is 5-10 years away, you're ahead of the game because we're having this conversation now, which means when rates drop, right, as they do, because real estate is cyclical, when rates do drop, it's likely more attractive and better to refinance at a time when your income and you've got stable income, because your refinance and your ability to repay that mortgage is going to be based on your income. When you retire, likely you're going to take a shavings, right? You're going to take a haircut off the income that you've been earning. And that could be anywhere from 30 to 40% of what you had been accustomed to. And that could make a really real impact on your housing expenses and your affordability of managing your housing expense, including your mortgage. So think about a refinance as a way to lower future mortgage payments. Again, as a disclaimer, right now we are in a high interest rate environment, so likely not the best time to do it. However, if you are in a scenario where you've got to buy a property, you've got to assume a mortgage, there's a death involved, those are things you definitely want to consult your experts and your professionals, because it's not necessarily a choice you have, right? Those are things that need to happen in order to either maintain or retain a property, a family-owned property, or an inheritance. So again, it's not necessarily an option for you if you are in that scenario. So again, refinancing can save you money and help you pay off your mortgage faster. Just again, be mindful of the interest rate environment that we are in. All right, number two. See, number two has been popular for the last couple years, as we are now in the, I'll just have to double check kind of like the surveys and what's happening, but we're like between the second and third wave of the transition or transference of wealth, is what they're saying, of the baby boomer generation. There's about three phases that they said based on the ages of the baby boomers. And so I'm having this conversation specifically to our baby boomers in terms of those who may need to consider downsizing. If you're not in that age range, it still applies, right? It still applies, because you may be in a property that is still too big. Don't need it as big, don't need the yard, maybe can downsize to something like a condo where there's less yard, there's less maintenance, less overhead, and it might make more financial sense for you to downsize into maybe a condo, townhome living, or something smaller where you can manage less of those expenses, as opposed to larger properties with larger utility bills in terms of heating and cooling, water usage, you know, in terms of watering the lawn, maintaining the landscape. All those things contribute to, again, what we're discussing is your housing expenses. So you may want to consider downsizing. Evaluate your current living situation and expenses and determine your priorities and assess your needs. Again, priorities and assessing your needs. And sometimes we can do that on our own, but sometimes, again, it helps to have a third party neutral, right? Someone who's neutral to this and can really call you on, here's what the reality is of your situation, here's what's important, and here's what you need. Especially as we're talking about downsizing, for my seniors who are now in the stages of planning for aging in place, right? My grandma's aging in place, grab bars, ramps, making the home comfortable for them to still maintain the home, still live in the home as they've worked so hard for. Some may either have a reverse mortgage, some may be paid off, but there's still things such as the utilities, property taxes, and homeowner's insurance that still are attached to the property that is considered a housing expense. And in retirement, if you are earning less money or you're able to collect Social Security or some other government program or benefit, you've got to factor in whether that income is sufficient to still manage your lifestyle along with those priorities of maintaining and managing the house. And see, and these are just examples that we're talking about, just home ownership of one property. Imagine home ownership of multiple properties. You've got duplex income properties. You have tenants that may not pay all the time. You still would be responsible for carrying that housing expense, even if you don't have a mortgage on it. You still are responsible for, again, the homeowner's insurance, property taxes, and those utilities, still responsible. So again, consider the alternative housing options that meet your budget. Don't shy away from exploring what downsizing looks like. One of the things that comes up when we're dealing with seniors is discussing communal living, right? Especially, it's one of the things that we've discussed. I did a designation training. So I do hold a seniors real estate specialist designation. And that has been a popular conversation about finding housing that is dedicated and designed for our 55 and up. And it's one of the very few exclusionary type of what we say CC&Rs, those covenant conditions and restrictions. I mean, you cannot tell people they can't buy into a community, buy into a property based on like an age discrimination, but senior living is one that is protected. So you will be in a setting where it makes sense for where you are in life. Again, assessing your needs. All right, moving on. The other one I like this one if you don't mind it, right? If you are okay with having other people live in the property. So this will require vetting. And of course, we also do property management as well. So I have been managing properties where we have been renting out the rooms for the homeowners. So don't shy away from renting out a portion of your home, albeit a den, an extra room. If you are headed towards the movement of converting your garage, as in the ADUs, that's an opportunity. But again, when we start talking about conversions, that requires money. Where is the source of the money coming from? Are you doing a refinance cash out? Are you using your savings? You know, all that plays into it. Are you going to retire and then use part of your retirement money to start to do this? As opposed to doing it while you're working and you've got an income source to fund a construction project. That's for anything, right? Just think about having a stream of income to build the dream. It's not retire, then build the dream. It's use your income now to fund building whatever that dream is. So renting out a room, a basement, or garage can be a great way to generate income to help with your mortgage and housing expenses. And that's pretty straightforward. What I must say about this for some things to consider is you've got to definitely vet who you're renting to, especially if you're occupying the property. You definitely want to vet. You want to be competitive in terms of what you're renting out your space for, albeit if it's, you know, part of the room. I will say that if a bedroom has access to a private bathroom, you'll definitely get more bang there for that particular space because people do like their privacy. It'd be great as well if that room also has an access, maybe a separate entry into the room from the rest of the house. Again, it just gives that sense of maybe having a studio space or a bachelor space. Where that person can come in and exit without feeling like they are disruptive to the flow of the living situation in the rest of the house. So some things to think about if you do have an extra room or space, don't be opposed to it, renting out that room and see if it makes sense. I will also share a couple things for those of you who would consider this option. If you are in a reverse mortgage product, if you utilize a reverse mortgage product, this could call the loan due, right? Because you're not allowed to use your property as rental income while holding a reverse mortgage loan, okay? So be mindful. Know the rules. Know the rules of engagement. Another thing, just budgeting. Let's get back to old school budgeting for your home maintenance. There's a formula, right, that we use in the business. When you purchase a property, that you should be saving 5% of the purchase price. So let's just use an easy $500,000. Depending where you are, this could be properties at $60,000, $80,000, $100,000, $300,000. I'm in California, so our minimum here, I literally just saw one bedroom, one bath for $497,000 and it needed work. So just depending where, so I'm saying LA County, because you definitely can get something for less outside of LA County or the LA basin area. But if I say property 500,000, saving 5%, essentially you want to budget for about 25,000 just in maintenance over the course of managing or owning that property. 25,000 for things like roof repairs, electrical, plumbing. As I shared already, we've all had that wake up call right now where the roof is showing its age and is saying, listen, time is nearing to replace me or time is up. I am leaking and it's bad. So, and right now, because of the demand, I mean, I imagine roofers can charge something pretty competitive. And I'm hearing that roof replacements are upwards of like 20,000. Wow. Like, remember they used to be like 9, 10,000, 13 to 15. And we're like up to 20 something thousand. So yeah, good time to be a roofer. Go roofers. As we talk about other careers in real estate, see, people forget that our inspectors, our maintenance, our plumbers, our foundation repairers, our contractors, they forget they're in real estate, right? Just because they don't have that real estate quote unquote title. But these are all careers in the real estate industry that sometimes we forget. Not me. I'm here to remind you. So regularly maintaining your home can save you money in the long run. And this is why managing your savings and budgeting for that, because it can definitely wipe out what you were expecting to use for retirement when you have to now pay for a big ticket item, such as replacing the entire, you know, plumbing in the house. All the pipes have to be replaced. You've got an older property that still has cast iron, or, you know, just you've got a really bad leak that involves this main sewer line, that whole thing. So budgeting for that. So keep a budget for repairs and upkeep, prioritize tasks, and do it yourself when possible, if and when possible, if you're resourceful in that sense. I am so happy that I've married someone that is very resourceful, experienced, and an expertise in his own right, that I am like scored. We're like dream team over here, because you know, especially we were talking about the other day, we were like talking about the sewer, the plumbing. That's why plumbing's on my mind. And he's like, oh yeah, we're likely going to have to, that's going to have to be replaced. So one of those things, right? It comes with managing. And one thing, the next option or way to manage your expenses is negotiating with your lender, right? Negotiating with your lender. A better loan term. So when, as we talk about pre-planning with your retirement, this is a great time for you to have a discussion with your lender as to loan products and rates that are available. And here's what I mean about that. If you know you are at the top of your career, at the peak of your career, or anticipate earning more over the remaining years of your career, especially those of you who are rewarded with seniority, it would make sense to have that discussion about, does a refi on a 15-year mortgage make more sense than having a 30-year mortgage? Because over 30 years, you'll be paying more interest over time. Now, on the extreme side, now say you've already retired, then it might be a conversation if you are, and this is newly approved, for refinance and those experiencing hardships. So if you find that you've jumped the boat, you've made the decision, if you're already retired and things are getting tight or tough, that the new 40-year mortgage, right, you'll pay more interest over the long haul, but you still maintain the property, you'll still maintain having housing, and you'll have a manageable mortgage payment. Because what the 40-year mortgage does is it extends the payment, right? Extends the loan over a longer period, thereby lowering the mortgage payment. So check with your lender again. This is why I listen, put this in your notes. Relationship lending. I kid you not. I swear by it. I talk about relationship lending probably every day. every day as someone has a question about, you know, mortgage rates, and I go to my preferred lender, and that's who I lean on. Why? Because when you are in a situation that may not be perfect for the Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, City National, all these other depository institutions who are mainly in the business of, you know, collecting those depository funds and maximizing their shareholders' investments and returns, you want to have a discussion and conversation with a person or entity or company that is in the business of doing loans, relationship lending. This includes your mortgage brokers as well, who have those relationships and partners with those wholesalers that are willing to do creative things with their loan products or portfolios that traditional depository institutions will not. So relationship lending, those are your lenders that are, who you see are lending to the community, people of the community, people of color. Relationship lending. Okay, good. We're gonna wrap this up here. So with that being said, I want to thank you. If you have any questions, thanks for tuning in, staying on, vibing with me on Ready, Set, Real Estate. If you do have any questions regarding anything specific or would like to expand, you can email me, lisa@lasuperagent.com, just conventional spelling, lisa@lasuperagent.com. You are more than welcome to text. Send a text at 323-488-3265. Mom says, good information. Shout out. Good information. Make sure you are sharing with those you know can benefit from this information, because it's coming, right? This is where we are, is as we're passing on the torch. So you've just tuned into episode 221, Your Mortgage and Retirement. This has been great. I've enjoyed being on with you. We'll see you next week for another information-packed episode on Ready, Set, Real Estate. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ready, Set, Real Estate podcast with Lisa Gillette, the LA Super Agent. Please like, subscribe, and share LA Super Agent.